Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday. This is October the 7th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Justine F., the 12 Traditions, Deanne F., and the readers of the text are Janice P.M., Dana P., and Jody E. And today we'll be reading from We Agnostics. We're on page 51. The first paragraph begins with, "This world of ours has made more material progress," through one paragraph ending with, "Others came near to putting Galileo to death for his astronomical heresies." I'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. The share ID for yesterday's Sunday special edition, October the 6th, is 21,805. That's 21805. And Monday, October the 7th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,806. That's 21806. And our newcomer greeter is Nick F. Betsy H., thank you all for your service this month. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Justine F. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Justine.
Good morning. This is Justine F., compulsive overeater and bulimic in Oregon. Here are the steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Justine F. from I forgot where you said you were from. I will now ask Deanne F.
Oregon.
To read the 12.
Oregon.
Oregon. Thank you, Justine. I will now ask Deanne F. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Deanne.
Hey, good morning, Mo. This is Deanne F., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Long Island, New York. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, that our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality.
Thank you very much, DNF from Long Island, New York. Let me go on here. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep the sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press *1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. And we are on page 51 of We Agnostics. First paragraph down, this world of ours has made more material progress, reading through one paragraph ending with others came near to putting Galileo to death for his astronomical heresies. And I will now ask Janice P.M. to get us started. Good morning, Janice. Looking forward to hearing what you say.
Good morning to you, Mo. This is Janice P.M., and I live in Massachusetts, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Yeah, this paragraph, this world of ours has made more material progress in the last century than in all the millenniums which went before. Almost everyone knows the reason. Students of ancient history tell us that the intellect of men in those days was equal to the best of today. Yet, in ancient times, material progress was painfully slow. The spirit of modern scientific inquiry, research, and invention was almost unknown. In the realm of the material, men's minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. Some of the contemporaries of Columbus thought around Earth preposterous. Others came near putting Galileo to death for his astronomical heresies. Pardon me. Let me just have a drink of water. Okay, this paragraph is, a little bit hard to understand. and I'll do the best on what it means to me. I know that when I came in here, I didn't come in here on a winning streak. When my winning streak was very materialistic, you know, very physical, the best hairstyle, the most finances, the best intellect, you know, these are the things that I adored and thought that was so important. That's the physical, that's the material. But, you know, also almost anyone knows the reason. Well, people used to say intellect, get to learn more, read more, you know. But the intellect of thousands of years ago and centuries ago, hundreds of years ago, the intellect was important. But we're no smarter than us, because in the ancient times, my material progress was very slow. And you know why? So wasn't my progress very slow when I came in here? Because I was my mind, which was my thinking, I had a lot of fixed ideas about spirituality. I didn't even have spirituality, helping others, being good to other people, needless worry, all that stuff. I wasn't free from my undue anxiety, from my food. I had ideas that were so fixed and superstitious, very superstitious, which meant I had unreasonable expectations of belief, very unreasonable. You know, I lived across the street from a church, and there was one altar with loads of crutches, you know, that when you break your leg, they were left there by people. And as a youngster, I said, oh, yeah, I don't know if I really believe that. Maybe they just put it up, you know. But I was supposed to blindly accept that. But, of course, I didn't. And as traditions were in my family, they were handed down certain beliefs about God, certain beliefs of me that I'm supposed to be self-sufficient. Well, you know, I just fought it all the time. It's just like some of the people that lived in Columbus, you know, thought that his idea of the earth being round was ridiculous, was crazy, absolutely crazy, ridiculous. But, you know, others came there putting him to death for his heresies, his different beliefs. Yeah. What it means, like, let's open our minds today and be willing. This is step two. Just be willing to believe. And when we are willing, we'll plant that seed and it will grow to have us believe. And with that, I am going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Janice PM, for getting us through that paragraph. I appreciate that. All right. Let's see. I forgot here. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we are on page 51 of We Agnostics. The first paragraph begins with this world of ours, and it ends with others came near to putting Galileo to death. So who would like to share on that paragraph?
Bruce.
Wendy B.
Bruce
Wendy B.
B. Wendy B.
Metris J. from Michigan.
Metris J. So I have Bruce E., Wendy B., Metris
Laurette.
J.
Nick S.
Who was that?
Laura
Nick.
A. S.
Laura H. Did you say L after that? Laura H. L?
Laura H. from Washington.
Oh, H. Okay. Thank you.
Thank
you, Laura. You're welcome. Anyone else?
Nick F. in Tennessee.
Neek F. from Tennessee. Gotcha, Neek. All right. Here we go. I have Bruce E., Wendy B., Mitris J., Laura H., and Neek F. So please tell us where you're calling from when you give us your name. Good morning, Bruce.
Morning, Mo. This is Bruce E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida, and very grateful to be on the call today and grateful for this particular part of the big book that we get to look at and analyze and talk about. So this is good. Yet in ancient times, material progress has been painfully slow, even though he talks about how people back then were just as intelligent as people are today. And and what gets me about this is it says the world of ours has made more material progress in the last century than in all the millenniums before. Well, we've probably made, since the internet, we've probably made more material progress in the last 10 or 20 years than all the centuries before us. And I have four daughters, and out of the four, three of them, and the fourth isn't too far behind, but three of them are making more money than I made, and they're probably having more material progress than I did. So, you know, and I thought I did okay. So it's amazing what's happening today. But why were people so stuck in those ancient times, and why was material progress so painfully slow? Well, he says it right here. If I can find it, yeah, in the realm of the material, men's minds were fettered, in other words, like kind of like chained, by suspicion, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. Well, my progress in OA was incredibly slow, you know. I mean, it took me 25 years to finally try to get this thing to some point and get to the point where I was recovered. But I was fettered with suspicion, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. I thought diets would work, or regular OA, you know, dieting with group support would work. You know, I did, you know, I was stuck in that thing too, you know. And it always, when I read this about this ancient times, material progress painfully slow, I always think about, you know, back in the 5th century or the 10th century or the 15th century or whatever, you know, during the times of Martin Luther and all that, of the guy that was, I saw a picture once of a guy, and he's got a little tiny farm, like maybe a quarter acre or something like that, or maybe a little bigger. And he's got one chicken and one cow and one of this and one of that and a little shack to live in. And he's very happy with it. You know, I mean, not maybe he's not happy, but he's thinking, you know, his grandfather did that, and his great-great-grandfather did that, and his father did that. Why not him too? And there's no progress, you know, because men were frettered with, their minds were frettered with superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. So, you know, I had to get rid of all that stuff. Thank you. And open my mind to what God has for me. So thank you, I guess.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bruce E. from Florida. Wendy B., next, followed by Mitris J. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I can really relate to that same line where, you know, men's minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. When I was young, you know, I was just very gullible, you know, which means I was, you know, easily deceived, too willing to believe everything that others said. And, you know, I think because my parents didn't provide a good moral grounding, you know, in right and wrong, and there wasn't, you know, a sense of security in our home, and, you know, we moved a lot, and we were always in transition. And as an adolescent, you know, I was searching for truth, you know, something black and white to believe in. And, you know, I found it in a cult that I joined. And the problem was, you know, it wasn't based on truth. It was superstition. It was unjustified beliefs in supernatural causation and consequences. based on, you know, the narcissistic leader's perception of things, you know, and it was traditions of, you know, servitude that the leader promoted as being godly. And you know, the fixed ideas were his teachings that were a form of mind control based on his delusions of grandiosity. And so I can just really relate to this paragraph, you know, and I can see how easily we as humans can grab onto false ideas and perceptions and embrace them as truth, you know, how our ego can be tricked so easily to believe, you know, some grandiose idea, you know, that we have some special power, you know, or we can be like God, or, you know, that our words have creative force and power to change things, you know, that I have some special talent or ability that's on the cutting edge of creativity. I mean, I used to believe all that kind of stuff, you know, and I'm just so grateful to be in program now where I can let go of all that grandiose ideas and accept the fact that we're all just one among many. You know, we're not better or worse than our fellows, and we learn to take our rightful place under God's authority and learn to surrender to Him being in control, and, you know, we get restored to sanity, you know, and grounded in reality. And I just am so grateful, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Up next is Mitris J., followed by Laura H. Good morning, Mitris. Press star one to unmute. Mitris, I can't hear you.
I'm sorry about that. This Mitris J. from Michigan. Thanks for your service. Very glad to be here. What came up for me in the reading, when I first came to Overeaters Anonymous, I didn't have a lot. I did not have a lot of finances. I did not have a car. It was things that I needed. And people and program really helped me. They would pick me up for meetings. Like, they would live by the meetings and come across town to get me and to bring me back home. They would buy books for me. What I'm saying is they went out their way where a lot of people don't believe that people and programs should help people financially. But those people did that for me, and I do that for people. They taught me well to help another compulsive eater in ways that people that we should do financially. But when a newcomer comes in the program, I buy them books. I try to help them in a way to get on their feet, or even, or just to be there for them in that way financially, to buy a book, to welcome them. Again, a lot of people don't believe that. When I got on my feet, I gave back. I put money in the basket when I would go to the meetings. To this day, I would still buy a newcomer a book. And some people have kind of disagreed with me on that or don't like that, and that's okay, but that's what I do. When I first came into the program, that's what was done for me. There's nothing that says I can't do that or someone can't do that, and that's what I do to help another compulsive overeater. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Mitris J. from Missouri, Michigan, M.I. I never can get that right. Anyway, up next is Laura H., followed by Neek F., and after Neek, we're going to take another lineup of people. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. This is Laura H. from Washington. I'm hoping everyone can hear me.
Yes.
Oh, thanks. I was reading this a couple times more and thinking about how confusing faith gets for me after time. And I am in the presence of a higher power, but I continue to find myself going into over-researching, getting into, and then I start to find that I'm lacking faith and getting critical and going back to a very old attitude from my childhood of I can do it myself. And you can imagine a little, you know, kid, 8 years old, I can do it myself. And I still very much have that in myself. And then this often will lead to me trying to disprove something in OA or some other tried and true method. But it's actually really good for me because something happens along the way. I get hurt, something. And I was sitting here reading this again, thinking that faith is the thing that keeps me staying in trust with both myself and with other people and away from this need to overanalyze everything and over-research and prove that I'm going to be safe and it's all going to be okay. And it always boils down to that for me about maintaining some sort of personal safety. And so I think this is helpful that thinking about, you know, the progress that I've made in my own recovery. I've got about 8 months of abstinence this time around and things are going really well, but I question it. Is this really going to stay this way? Is this really true? Can I keep this going? And as long as I'm doing it myself and overanalyzing, it's not going to happen. So I found this was really helpful just thinking about that. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Well, thank you very much, Laura H. from Washington. And before I take Nick F., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 51 of We Agnostics, and it's the first paragraph down. This world of ours has made more material progress, and it ends with others came near putting Galileo to death. And we're picking apart that paragraph. So after Nick, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, family. It's Nick. N-I-C-K-F, Nick, in Tennessee. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service, moderator. You know, I look around my room as I'm sitting here right now, and I say, man, does this much freedom exist? Is God really this good? And it says, damn right. You know, I say damn right. But let me tell you something. 3.5 years ago, I used to sit on my porch over 400 plus pounds in a stinking 5X because I hadn't bathed in months. And I would say to myself as I smoked this cigarette, I say, I ain't got a fucking friend in the world. I said, you know, is life really this awful? Do I really want to die this much? And I would say to myself, you damn right. And I would beg to die. And I cannot believe the power of God in such a short amount of time has changed and rearranged everything. I didn't even have my own address. It was times that I didn't even have a car. You know, those material things are great. But right now I'm praying, you know, I'm bowed. Even though I'm sitting, I'm bowed in my spirit and asking the power of God to teach me how to be a better mother. Because I just got off the phone with my ex-husband, you know, and I was talking about parenting. And I said, I don't know if you know this or not, but on one end, we was getting the shit beat out of us. And on the other end, you know, my dad would make up for it, and it was just a free-for-all, no discipline. And I asked God, you know, I was looking at the paragraph. Sometimes I have to go back to the paragraph before, and it says, the presence of God is today the most important fact of my life today. And I never knew I would get here genuinely with the food where it needs to be. I knew God in overeating. I knew God in drinking. I knew God in a toxic relationship. But with all that set aside and like this freedom of the consciousness of God that I feel today, if God can change my taste buds, God can give me a better option than hitting my kids or just letting them do what the hell they want to do. like this presence of this faith and this recovered state, it really gives me this power to challenge life in anything, in everything. God, you designed me. God, you created me. God, you've redirected the entire trajectory of my mind and spirit. And I can't help but say, like, God, help me enjoy it. But what's next? You know, like, what else can we look at? Like, I got to sit down and look at my budget and, you know, the feeling that everything's in place where it needs to be. But I get to go after wealth. I don't know a lot of wealthy people in my family, you know, from generations perhaps, but I get to just enjoy life and challenge God, ask God, challenge myself, question myself. And I never lived a life like this. And so, as I said, and I just wanted to share, you know, if God could change my taste buds, I bet all in all, God could help me be the kind of mother God would want me to be. And, you know, okay, I'm looking forward to getting a sponsor. I'm looking forward to some great things in this recovery. So I hope it's as good as you all are saying it's going to be. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nika F. from Tennessee. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Shanna C., Tennessee.
Shanna C., okay.
Natalie S.
Natalie. Natalie, I think you said S.
Sharon S. O. Sharon,
yeah,
O.
I did.
Sharon O.
I got you, Sharon.
I'm in Appalachia. I don't know if I'll be able to keep on here, but I just wanted to connect. And when you have time,
all right.
Thank you.
All right. We'll hope we can.
Liz.
Anyone
A.
Else? Oh, Liz. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
All right. I have Shanna C., Natalie S., Sharon O., Liz A. Anyone else?
Janice K.
Janice K. Okay, we'll stop there. See what how much time we have. All right. So everybody else mute your line except Shanna C. Good morning, Shanna.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service, and thanks everyone who has shared. And I couldn't be more grateful today. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee, East Tennessee. God bless those who are, you know, who are suffering from the after effects and of Helene. And so grateful you're on here. What a testament to the faithfulness. September the 29th, I celebrated 5 years of entire abstinence. It's a miracle for my life. And I just wanted to get on here and share that. Frothy emotional feels seldom sufficed for me. But I got to tell you, I can't help but be overwhelmed with gratitude, because there is no way that there isn't a power greater than me that exists, that is actually conspiring for my good. That isn't because there's no way I would be able to be entirely abstinent a day, a meal, much less 5 years. Circumstances made me willing to believe. I just know that on the morning of September 29th of 2019, I really had reached a bottom that I can't even put into words. And it was a level of surrender that I can't even describe. It was like, God, you're going to literally have to change who I am or enable me to live the way that I am. Because I like someone else said, I was praying to die. And, so when I got on the phone, somehow I managed to find this number on a Sunday morning and was listening to someone tell her story. And she read my mail. She told my story. And she just so happened to have a opening for a sponsorship that week. Just that week, and she never has openings. And she took me through the 12 steps, that moment of clarity, that fear that sobered me for a bit with the food, you know, it took hold. And somehow I've been relieved of it. And what I do when I get on here is I try to share what's been freely given to me, and so that other people may come to believe as well. Because that's what it is. It's a new way of living. And it's dramatic, but it isn't. It's simple, sound. And I'm so grateful to be neutral, to have maintained a weight loss, a significant weight loss for this time. I could never have done this by myself, ever. And so grateful for you guys. I get to hear your stories. I don't have to be alone anymore. My life's gotten exponentially better. One meal at a time, one prayer at a time, each step at a time, a day at a time. I get to be real. And with that, I will pass. I appreciate you. That's it.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Shanna C. from Tennessee. Up next is Natalie S., followed by Sharon O. Good morning, Natalie.
Good morning, and thank you, and thanks to everybody who shared on this meeting as well. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater in Indiana, by God's grace. And, you know, what I was thinking about when this paragraph was read, that when they wrote this paragraph, it was something like 1939. So the millennia before of it was the 1800s, you know, and we're looking at this from the perspective of 2024. If we look back a millennia or 100 years, you know, we're looking at 1924. Yeah, the world has changed even in the second millennium since this is written. And I had to consider, because my family came from Illinois, and they were farmers, and they became professional people and all this stuff, right? And I was just kind of reflecting, like, what has this gotten us? It's gotten me more thinking. And where did thinking get me when I was, you know, restricting and over-exercising? It got me bad thinking. It got me broken relationships. It's got me, you know, looking for a job. It's got me without a house, without a car. So really get me? Well, in the right perspective, with God first, it gives me what I need, and it can be just a beautiful life. But until God comes in and reorders my priorities, not only with compulsive eating, my life is a mess. And so I was just reflecting on that in my life. And I was remembering, as I was remembering my family as farmers, I was just thinking, you know, they used to use something called like the almanac or the farmer's almanac to look at the weather. And I was kind of chuckling because the weather is always the same. You know, those weather alert days when I'm in Arizona, the weather alert is for a frost that takes 2 minutes to get off your windshield if your car's outside, where frost in Indiana is like, you better turn the thing on for 15 minutes. And it's all related to perspective. But these farmers trusted in that. And from what I understand, I'm not an expert, but it's pretty accurate. And what that reminds me is that even then, it was more about looking around at God's creation and looking for signs and wonders that reflect God and his help in the world, rather than looking down at myself and saying, okay, how can I fix this? What can I do? So that's what I wanted to share about this paragraph, not only in life, but with my disease of restricting and overexercise, that in the proper order, all of these things, all of these material progressions and better thinking and greater understanding is great. But without that first order that God is first and all powerful, it all falls apart. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
And where did you say you're from, Natalie? Oh, she went off.
I'm sorry. I'm from Indiana.
Indiana. That's what I thought I heard. All right. Thank you very much. Yep. Sharon O.?
Yep.
Up next, followed by Liz A. Now, Sharon said she might have trouble getting on, so we will see if she can unmute.
This is Sharon O. Can you hear me?
Yep. Yes, we can.
Okay.
I can.
Okay. I have a small signal right now. I don't have long. I'm leaving, finally leaving after 9 days at the water power connection with the outside world. But I've been living as a compulsive overeater off of one meal a day. The first couple of days, I was very scared about food. Somehow God's done for me what I can't do for myself. Been able to not be obsessed about it, eat what I have, been able to get in a good way and not compulsively, not taking the, a lot of people are sending us junk food, which is, you know, it's kids like it and stuff, but it's just not something I need to get into. But, you know, I just, as a compulsive overeater, this has just scared me to death. I've been cut off from my sponsor and from other fellows, and this is the first OA meeting in 10 days. That's really all I have to say because the signal's going to go. And I just thank you for being there. At least I heard some things today. Thank you for being there. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Sharon O. in North Carolina, and our love and prayers to all those that are going through this situation with Helene. Up next is Liz A., followed by Janice K. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service and for all those who are doing service by just attending this meeting. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from California. What struck me was it's talking about men's minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. And, you know, my brilliant, in quotes, brain thought all my fixed ideas were correct and other ideas were wrong. And it wasn't until I opened my mind to the possibility that some of my ideas were not necessarily correct, that I was able to make any progress. Whenever, even in recovery, whenever I hit a plateau, for me, that means I'm not spiritually growing. And then I have to go back and say the set-aside prayer and ask God to help me set aside everything I think I know and open my mind. Interestingly enough, I was talking to a sponsee, and she mentioned some resource. And, you know, my first thought was, well, I'm sponsoring her. She's not sponsoring me. So I don't need to look at that. I discounted it. And, you know, all of a sudden I thought, what? You know, closed mind. And I went and I researched this resource. And you know what? It was like I took a giant step in the ladder of me and my higher power. And, you know, my higher power isn't what I thought my higher power would be. No, not even close. And every day, this new higher power is showing me everything I need to do, everything I need to think. And it's been amazing. And all this because I opened my mind just a little bit, you know. And if any of the people who are suffering on this line or new, if they are feeling hopeless, the fact that you even called in means you opened your mind just a little bit. and there is hope. And
thank
just
you.
Set aside prayer. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Liz A., calling from California. And up next, we have Janice K., and depending on the time, we may have a little bit of time for a short share. Good morning, Janice. Janice, press star 1 to unmute.
Thank you. I thought I was, and I'm not, so. Oh, well. It shows what a great brain I've got. And what I want, I guess I'm just repeating what you've heard over and over again. God had to get really big to do the job for me. And when I began program, most of what I thought I knew was given to me by others. It's very, very hard to get over the ideas that you learned, not with your brain, but things that you learned with emotionally. A lot of my attitudes toward God and other people were based on the offerings of people who had their own problems to deal with. The early years are buried inside the body. I suspect we learn attitudes toward coping mechanisms with life before we even learn to speak. We figure out whether or not the world is safe, whether or not other people can be trusted to take care of us. It's very hard to go back and release those superstition, traditions, and fixed ideas. I knew God had to be bigger because he couldn't deal with my food, so he got bigger. God had to get bigger when I could not change my character defects. I knew God needed to be bigger when I did not trust him to take care of my children. I trust him with me. We get along okay. But is God big enough to take care of my kids too? That's a hard one. God has to be able to get bigger. Dysfunctional people, and many of us will readily claim dysfunctional homes, but we won't claim dysfunctional gods. We have to jettison the old ideas and let God get big, and it's not necessarily easy. So, thank you for listening. And I'm going to go rip out some character defects and give them to God so he has more room. I won't. He will. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice K. from Oregon. And you have taken us to the time we need to stop. Thank you all for sharing on this paragraph. It gave me some new insights. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I'm going to ask Dana P. to read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks, Mo. Dana P. here, recovered in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God, understand God, admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, do freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.